At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, it's 3:15. Bringing Candelaria's alongside as we start a little bit of an abbreviated version of Talk Shop this afternoon. Today, in case you care, it's Tuesday, the 28th of May.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Thanks for being here.
Well, it's my pleasure. Yeah. Enjoy the show.
Regan, some of the different things that are out there, I would imagine that you deal with, issues, topics, et cetera, are challenges. Not because they're challenges, but because the public is less than informed. Now that we come off with, you know, half-baked ideas that may or may not be well-grounded for the application in that scenario. Is it possible to have an educated populace?
You really are setting me up there. Yes, it is. And you're right, though. In government, a lot of times what we're working on, it's difficult to communicate all the different aspects of projects and get all of that information out there to the community. So a lot of times you do get people that only hear bits and pieces of a project, and then they make their own conclusions for the remainder of that project. And, you know, until we get to a certain point in the project that, it, you know, public information can be put out, I can see why people get confused and they feel like they don't know or they don't understand what's going on with local government.
Almost to the point where that's where that distrust oftentimes will come in, because, well, they're not giving me the full picture, not understanding that perhaps it's too early, illegal, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's definitely a key aspect of that, you know, distrust for local government, well, for any government for that matter. But a lot of people like to think that in local government that, hey, you're right there, we should know every step of the way. But, you know, in reality, we have, you know, work to do and things to research and, you know, different codes to be responsible to and different court judgments on different cases. And, you know, we need to figure all that out before we really, you know, put a big step forward on some things. And I think people have difficulty with that because they want to know right away what you're doing, how you're going to do it, when it's going to be done. And, you know, if you commit to some of those things too early, then you end up doing things incorrectly or you have more trouble.
And holding you accountable for the results.
That's the difficult part, yes. Then you have to sit in my seat and answer those questions, which are not always, you know, very pleasant.
So when someone talks about transparency at the federal level, yeah, right. State level, I don't think so. Can there be transparency at the small town government level, or is there still enough things that are off the table, whether it's timing or whatever the reason may be, that we never will have transparency?
Well, at the local level, we strive to have as much as possible. And there are certain things that are just, you know, they're somebody's personal business and they're not really public business. And we are a public field. But, you know, we work with individuals that have rights. We work with other businesses and corporations that have rights. And so, you know, there's different times that you just, you can't share all of that data because it's not appropriate or not legal. You know, one of the things that I try to do as we're making decisions at the local level is put together committees. And that tends to incorporate more people that at least have the similar info.
It's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria from the city, the fine city of
Sunny,
Fortuna.
Friendly Fortuna.
Yeah, well, you can't lay claim to being the only sunny guy now.
No way, look out the window.
I know,
gee,
it's
very
kind of
nice.
Frightening, isn't it? No, but it's supposed to rain again this evening, so yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, I heard 100% chance is what...
That's a kind of fait accompli, isn't it? Yeah. Before we went to the break, Regan, you were talking a little bit about some of the different challenges that are out there and how people are involved in processes. And maybe it's a formal and maybe it's an informal. Maybe it's an ad hoc committee or maybe it's an elected position. But there are ways that constituencies are represented. Is that something that a lot of the, I wouldn't call them noisemakers, but how about the challengers of anything that goes on? Do they get that? Or do they want to be the person who's in the know and they are the important one?
Well, I think you're talking about people that are regulars that show up to council meetings and committee meetings and planning commission meetings. I think they're in the know because they are, you know, diligent about reading agendas and staying, you know, abreast of what's going on around town. And so those people are...
No, I'm thinking of the guys who bust your chops and say, you're doing it behind the scenes. You're not including everybody.
Well, I think those people need to be included to the extent possible. It might not be very comfortable, you know, it might not be your best, you know, day of the week, but if you can bring them in and show them how the process works and educate them a little bit, you know, and get them involved, I think they stand a chance to be one of your, you know, more on your advocacy side because they'll realize, hey, there's a little bit more involved with this than just, you know, somebody making a snap decision. And in local government, to all levels of government, we can't make snap decisions. We got to think about things. We got to be prepared and know what happened last time we made that decision and, you know, move forward and hopefully not have questions later.
When you have an ad hoc committee or not a city council planning commission, I would think people would anticipate poundage of paperwork. You know, there's going to be a lot of detail, a lot of reports. I think that's kind of comes with the territory. But for some of these other areas where you get folks together, is that one of the lasting impressions? Is how much detail, how much just is there for somebody to try to embrace and to grasp?
You know, for those other, you know, if you're not a planning commissioner or a city council member, of course, you know, when I put together committees and little groups to work with me on a project or work with me on a decision that needs to be made, I try not to do that. I let staff do all of that research and all of the reading and all of the report preparation and try and provide all of the main points and all of the facts so the committee can, you know, just more have more of a discussion. I don't like to provide too many, you know, homework assignments and, you know, ask somebody's assistance and participation and then put them to work, you know, with a lot of their private time. But, you know, the work that staff does is to prepare them and give them that background so they can make informed decisions and help the city, you know, go in the right direction that benefits the entire community. Because that's really, I think, the ultimate point in putting together committees and having a city council and a planning commission and a design review board is that they're representing the entire city and everybody in town, not just, you know, their particular area of interest or their neighborhood or, you know, their business sector. They need to be thinking, you know, I'll call it globally, you know, within the city limits that, you know, this is something that affects, you know, everybody in town and I can't, you know, be focused on, you know, my line of work or what's going to happen to my kids at Little League. It's, you need to think about the entire city.
So the universe now is the city of Fortuna.
That's all that exists. I can think of that.
Boy, you jumped in whole hog in the deep end on this one, didn't you?
Well, you know, there's so much in local government, it's pretty consuming. And, you know, when you go outside the city limit, sometimes you're like, oh, there are other things going on. But, you know, there's a lot that takes up our time, yes.
When you go out and you form some of these ad hocs or you put together a group that you want to have feedback from, you mentioned the different walks of life. What I wrote down was age segmentation. Do you try to cross-reference to get the kids' involvement? I know it's kind of, it's been trendy in the past to get somebody from student government at the high school. And okay, personally, I would rather get the C student rather than, you know, the high achiever kid. But, you know, I have more affinity to one than the other, and honestly, probably more in common with one than the other. And also all the way through, and including the seniors.
Yeah.
And the folks who have, who've been around a fairly long time, to really get a breath, or are you just looking for folks that say yes, and hopefully they're from different parts of town?
Yeah, you know, sometimes it is, you know, really just a difficult task to identify people to participate and that have the time. You know, thinking about different age groups is an important item. I'm glad you brought that up. I'll start thinking about that more. A lot of times in local government, what we get are, you know, a high representation from the older community, you know, maybe even people in the retirement ages, because they generally have a little bit more time to give and, you know, probably a little bit more experience with what's gone on in the past in the community and a desire to make things right. You know, you look at it demographically, you don't get a lot of people in their 20s and 30s because they're young, they've got young kids, they've got new jobs that they're working through, starting their careers, and you know, whether or not the sidewalk gets put in correctly isn't always their primary focus. So it's hard to really get that, but you're right. You know, and we've got a new bike park coming in at Newburgh Park in Fortuna, and so we have a lot of youth involvement in that. And so sometimes the actual topic will dictate what kind of committee members or participants you'll get.
Yeah, if you're talking about the senior center, bringing in the high school kids maybe not necessarily be the best use.
We have a multi-generational center, which is a new facility in Fortuna, and I'm glad you brought that up because it's not just seniors. There's, you know, all different age groups there.
Yeah, pairing, and yeah, okay. But
yeah, Trina Pocket's the new director there. She's really been pushing that site, and, you know, maybe I should bring her in. I think you'd love talking to her and have her tell you what they're doing there.
I was trying to include every city in this discussion, but thanks for zeroing in.
You know, there's only Fortuna. Yeah. You can't be going outside the city limits on me.
It's 3:30.
An unprecedented savings event is going on now at Burns Furniture. The Serta iComfort Triple Bonus. Bonus 1, save up to $400 on a Serta adjustable foundation. Bonus 2, receive a free iComfort 2-in-1 mattress protector up to a $159 retail value. And bonus 3, receive 2 free iComfort scrunch pillows when you buy a Sealy iComfort or iSeries mattress. Catch the Serta Triple Bonus before it goes away at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the guy that makes it sunny in the universe known as Fortuna, Rican Candelaria. I got it all right, right?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Okay. Oh, friendly universe.
Friendly and sunny, yes.
And sunny universe, yes, called Fortuna.
Hub of the Eel River Valley, I'm starting to understand.
Oh, the hub.
Yes.
So you can be a hub, which implies a subsection
of the Eel River Valley, which
and
goes
still
outside
be the universe
of those,
at the same
those
time.
Universal limits. That's yeah. Correct.
Yeah. Who said physics is boring? Yeah, it might be confusing, but it's not boring. Oh, speaking of interesting, challenging, and not boring, if you're jumping into it, budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think a lot of people perceive budget as yonder. Don't understand the information that it contains. Don't understand that it really is the game plan for the upcoming year. You're going to be having some workshops, starting tomorrow?
We have our first tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. at City Hall.
What are your expectations going into this one? That nobody will show up, or you'll have the electeds there and nobody else, and you just kind of punch it out and go for it? What would you like to have with this as a byproduct of having these public workshops?
Well, the ultimate goal is to make sure that the council is familiar with our document and that they have a good understanding of, basically, like you stated it, what is that game plan for 13-14. And then since we've been facing some potential, operational deficiencies or deficits for our upcoming fiscal year, to make sure that they know where we're at in terms of that issue, which we've relatively addressed for the upcoming year. We still have some work to do, and throughout the year I expect that staff will continue to try and cut costs and decide what things we can and can't do, what can we do without, to ensure that we're well under our, you know, projected revenues and, you know, for the output that we put out, our expenditures. But really the outcome of this workshop is to make sure that council knows where we're at and what we're doing, and, you know, that they're comfortable with that, so that hopefully they will adopt the budget that we can start with on July 1st.
Do you want the budget, best case scenario for the staff team, do you want the budget adopted as is?
Yes, I would love for that. Every year the budget document is, you know, there's a little misconception that, oh my God, they just adopted that budget. No, that's it. Everything's set in stone. I mean, the budget itself is a living document. I mean, it's based on projections. We don't know exactly the number of property tax revenues that will come in. We don't know exactly the number of sales tax dollars that will come in. It's based on past year's experiences and, you know, projections, basically an estimate of next year. So things change. Sometimes we, you know, have to buy a new computer system, you know, and we get a major crash. That's what happened this year. You know, and so it wasn't in the budget document that we're sitting on top of for 12-13, but you know what, hey, we needed to do something. So things do change. So if they adopt this budget, you know, that's great and it sends a good message to the community and to staff, but things are going to change and you just have to have that perspective and know that, you know, that you have to be flexible.
I find it interesting that you would want it to be accepted as is. I would always want me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I've never been in your chair, so grain of salt, right?
Yeah.
I would want them to have some kind of buy-in on it. Hey, can we change this last little thing? Can we do a little, so that they got a little skin in the decision of the development of this thing rather than...
Are you sure you haven't sat in the seat before of a city manager or city administrator?
I've sat next to a number of people who have sat in that chair. Let's just say it that way. Well, you know, give me a little bit of your buy-in. Yeah, I know during the preliminary stuff you gave us some direction and then... But maybe pass something 100%.
You don't have that expectation. You asked what I would like. Yes, that's what I would like. And I'll base that on the fact that I hope that as staff, we've been working with our council and the entire community to figure out what types of programming they want or what types of priorities they want to have set. We actually had an objectives workshop with the council about a month and a half ago. So I'm hoping that the things that we're working on are things that the council are actually really interested in. And then, you know, whether it's going to be a $1,000 this or a $1,200 that, you know, there's some differences there and they're going to have a little bit of, you know, comments here and there. But overall, I hope that the general picture of what priorities we've set and what types of programming and public improvements we're going to be making and, you know, how we're going to address this situation or that ADA requirement, you know, I hope that they are going to be on board with the majority of that document.
So how do you get that balance between those who have the desire, as you said, tends to be retired, to micromanage and to plow through the entire document line by line, and those that say, you're doing a good job. If you screw up, you're on the train out of town. I'll sign it. the polar opposite.
Yeah, you've got a wide range going there.
Yeah. At what level do you feel that there is knowledge competency, knowledge understanding, functional knowledge of the document. So when they do vote yes or no, the council is coming from a spot where it's an informed decision, kind of like our public
mm-hmm.
that we talked about early on, flying off half-cocked, really not knowing what was going on, but by golly, they're going to deliver the message with passion.
Yeah, we're talking about a city council as the governing body here, and they're elected by, you know, the people in the city of Fortuna. So you're hoping that that's well represented and that, you know, Council Member X got votes from, you know, people involved with youth programs as well as people involved with service clubs as well as people involved in education. You know, so you hopefully get people that are well represented in the community and, you know, it doesn't matter who puts their name in the hat to run for a council seat. The community has to vote for those people that are up in front of them. So you may get all senior citizens that run for council, but then the people are going to have to choose from that. Fortunately, what happens is you get people from different backgrounds with different experiences, and they come together as a team. And when they look at the budget document or other policy decisions that are before them, hopefully through their collective input of, you know, hey, I was involved with service clubs and we feel like this. Well, you know what, I've been in education for 20 years and, you know, we have this perspective. So when they discuss things and they, you know, deliberate on a decision, you know, you're hoping that you don't have all of the same, you know, people with the same backgrounds on that council, you know, which is something that's probably pretty rare.
All former city managers.
Oh, gee, wouldn't that be nice?
Is that a death wish or not?
That would be horrible. Nobody wants to deal with five of me. One is enough.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Time, 343. We'll digest that one and be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 346. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. What do we just, Commander of the Universe of Fortuna?
No, okay. I'm not a commander, I'm just there.
Yeah, engineer. What do you see for 13-14 in the budget? If you boil it down to the essences of what it is, you already mentioned that it's a little out of whack. Okay. Doesn't sound like it's unachievable.
Not out of whack. We have some constraints and we have less revenue coming in than we're used to.
So you'll have to look at some areas within the budget as it's presented that won't be spent. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's being prudent, isn't it?
Yeah, and if you want me to boil it down, I would just say generally we're going to be able to do the same things and the same level of service that we've had for the past couple years. But knowing that throughout this next year, we need to find ways to do better and to do less, because the trends are showing us that we're not going to have the same revenue that we've had, you know, historically. Things are flat or declining, and that's just the general bottom line, and I don't think any other city manager would tell you anything different from their property taxes or sales tax.
Now, that's 13-14.
Right.
But one of the things that I've kind of picked up over the last little bit is that that's also the foundation for 14-15. So as you start looking at, and not that you're putting the budget together, but what are going to be your mile markers or canaries for next year? Is sales tax in the city a big one? Business starts, is that a big one? Housing sales? What are the two or three areas you're going to be looking at to start developing foundational cornerstones for the next budget?
Well, it's really not the revenue side, it's the expenditure side. Like I said, we know that the trends are showing us that property tax and sales tax are flat or declining, but the part that we really need to try and address is the expenditure side that are increasing, and that's the part that we may or may not have some control over. Likely we do. It's hard and they're tough decisions to make, but we can't control how many, you know, cars people buy in town or how many pairs of pants they might buy. You know, that's market driven, and we hope that those sales are going to happen and increase. But
if you get a new pants retailer in town, you can probably say, okay, we're going to see a little bit of bump in pants sales.
We can count on a little bit more of sales tax. But again, that's market driven, and how long that person stays in business, it's hard for us to be responsible for. But
so you don't get that granular with what you're looking at?
I don't think so. If we're looking at maybe a major retailer or a major shopping center or something that would have some, you know, truly long-term impacts, but, you know, one store here and there or a mom and pop, they're great and they're important. You know, we have to do what we can to retain them, but we don't necessarily want to go out and spend a lot of time and energy recruiting one. But if we can get some of those bigger picture items, you know, or the infrastructure available to accommodate a bigger picture item, then that makes a little more sense.
So he means 8:30 tomorrow morning is when it all starts.
That's when the
enjoy your time.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for coming by, Regan. We've been Talking Shop with Regan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.